There is just absolutely not a better place to be than where we are today, doing the things that we are doing because it's what God wants us to do, and how blessed we are when we do it, how enriched our lives, our souls are for doing these things. And so we welcome those who are visiting with us. Thank you for making the effort, and our aim is to be an encouragement to you as you seek to serve and to worship God and to know His will for your life. Well, not speaking to the visitors here, but to those who live in Asheville, or if you're contemplating living in Asheville, if you are a senior citizen, you are in a good place. Because according to the most recent survey of Money Magazine, who does this survey a lot, last fall, they listed Asheville as one of the 10 best places to retire in America. Now, I don't know what two or three guys come up with this list and what their criteria is, but Asheville made it to number 7, and probably a lot of you know that Asheville makes that top 10 list a lot. And speaking of senior communities, there are actually communities here geared towards seniors, as there are in a lot of places in America, just as there are all kinds of services for senior citizens. And if you just listen to the radio or watch television or pick up a magazine or newspaper, you see ads constantly of goods and services and products for seniors. And according to these ads, these seniors are having a really good time. And they're doing some pretty daring things. And I don't know what this guy's thinking at his age. But there is an entire industry built around marketing products and services for senior citizens. Why? Really, if you go back a few decades, it was almost unheard of. The reason why is because there are just so many senior citizens. First of all, people are living longer than ever in our society, and on the whole, probably longer than at any other point in history. For most civilizations. And also, uniquely to the United States, we are now experiencing the baby boom generation in their senior years. Baby boom generation was this period from roughly 1944 to 1964, 65, where a lot of people were born, and now that bubble of people have entered into these senior years, and there are a lot of these baby boomers who are no longer babies. They're seniors. Bottom line, they're just more older people than ever. So, of course, the question is necessary. And that is, what would God have people who are seniors to do in service to Him? In other words, what does God teach us about being a senior person and being His follower? How should these years be viewed and how they should be used? It's a huge subject, actually, and we're just going to hit just the hem of the garment this morning. But we want to have a realistic picture of it, not one like these ads that are not quite realistic. Because we know that that is might be a reflection of part of being older, but you know that's not the whole picture. Week before last, in our reading, we read Psalm 71. So today I want to talk about Psalm 71, read it with you, and draw from it really a template to be placed upon one's senior years if they are intent to follow after God. This song can be aptly described as the song of the sunset years. Psalm 71 is not unlike a lot of psalms. Now think about it. We're reading through the Psalms, and we've had some classes and we've had some sermons on the Psalms. Think about the three things the Psalms have taught us over and over. And that is, first of all, there is much for which to praise God. All that He has done and all His greatness and goodness. There is much pain and struggle in life. The Psalms are very honest about life's struggles, and they teach us over and over these things should be put together. And that is, we need to lean on God and His greatness and His goodness, that we need God completely and constantly in our lives. Psalm 71 is not an exception to that. So as it begins, you'll see that this is familiar territory. Verses 1 to 4. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. Psalm 31 has almost an identical, almost identical beginning. We know that Psalm 31 was penned by David according to the title. That's not a title listed here in Psalm 71. However, at the end of Psalm 72, you may recall that in the text it says that the songs of David are over. So somehow the first 72 are connected to David, and it's interesting how that Psalm 71 starts off almost in an identical fashion to Psalm 31. But look at this dimension of Psalm 71 that you do not find in Psalm 31. Verse 5, "For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have learned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent." Though Psalm 71 starts off like Psalm 31, it's a different perspective, it's a different context. This psalmist, David or whoever it is in his old age. This is one of several references, as we'll see in this psalm, about someone being older who is writing it. The older man, as he starts off here, sees God as and needs God to be his rock and deliverer, just like the younger man does. Now, obviously, this sermon today, for those who are here or those who are listening in through the live stream and watching, obviously it has a direct application to you if you are a senior, but not just to the seniors. All of us would be wise to heed what this psalm has to say. I had a very interesting experience with this psalm this past week, because as I was thinking about different psalms to preach about as we go through the year, this psalm popped into my head. And so I did some looking into my records, and I found that I had preached a sermon on Psalm 71 30 years ago. I have notes on the back where and when I preached something. So 30 years ago, I preached from this psalm. Now, what struck me interesting is that, wow, when I was 5, I preached this psalm. Now, why are you laughing? First of all, too many people laugh. But second of all, it proves a point. I'm not a young man anymore. And 30 years ago, when I preached from Psalm 71 in my 20s, it looked as if the senior years were way off. They don't anymore. Sometimes I do get a senior discount on something. That's good. In other words, it's going to be here before you know it. And we talk about preparing for retirement, like our investments and, you know, things like that, and where we're going to live and so forth. This is a greater preparation. When I get into my senior years, what preparation do I need to make in anticipation of being God's servant? Because how we look at those years, we really need to get that squared away now before we enter them and be prepared for that. We need to prepare our thinking now. So this psalm is for us all. Continue with me in verse 10 and 11. "For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, 'God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him.'" Again, nothing new. How many times have we seen in the Psalms There is some enemy who is after David or the psalmist. And here, though he's in his older years, that has not changed. They're watching for his life, according to verse 10 and 11. Maybe thinking possibly his end is near, or at least he's now reduced, and they can move on him and do something that they couldn't before and see something for their own gain. Their enemies are thinking, God's no longer with him. Well, the bulk of this psalm is this psalmist saying, oh, yes, he is. I believe he is, and he's going to be with me. The enemies see that maybe God is pulling back from this man, and this man doesn't see it that way. He's even trying to pull closer to God. And this tells us that the challenges are not over. If you think you can reach a point in your life where as a follower of God, you're not going to have tests and trials and temptations, you're not going to have it. There are challenges for people in their senior years when it comes to serving God. Now, the psalmist here is talking about enemies. And it deserves more attention, this point does, and we probably ought to do that sometime before the year is out. But if you think about it, our real enemy is Satan. The New Testament teaches us that. And so really, no matter what kind of enemy you have, ultimately it's Satan using people or using circumstances or things to try to do us in, trying to have something for which he can accuse God that we've committed sin and have us condemned. There are ways in which Satan is working against us. And the older years have unique challenges. The wise preacher wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come and the years draw near of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Some translations say the difficult days. And it goes on to, in very vivid poetic language, describe the physical and mental and social troubles of being an older person, that you tremble, that your eyesight's diminished, your hearing's diminished, all these kinds of things that happen when you age. And no wonder they're called difficult or evil days, and it's hard to find pleasure in them. So that verse really doesn't match those pictures at the front, right? But that statement matches the experience. And so there are some unique challenges that older people have. The physical problems and limitations, the financial challenges sometimes and concerns, being disengaged from some of life's activities that they used to be involved in, thus feeling useless sometimes and unneeded, loneliness and isolation and feeling neglected. And there are fears and threats that are more acute that you may have had the same kind of circumstances when you were 20, 30, 40, 50 years younger, but now because of your age, those kinds of circumstances appear to be more threatening to you. Regardless of how we're threatened or challenged, Satan is working to discourage us and distract us from serving God and to burden us so that we will diminish in our faith. And regardless of our station in life, the child of God's response is much the same. And that is, we see this in the Psalms, relying on God and turning to God and those kinds of things. But I want you to look in Psalm 71, specifically at how this aged psalmist responds and how that this is a template for us. And these are very generic things, but they're valuable to someone in their senior years. So let's read this all together, verse 12 to 24. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed. With scorn and disgrace may they be covered who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day. For their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God, I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you've taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will praise to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed. And my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long, for they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. I want you to conceive four things here from this reading that are so valuable and so beneficial for serving the Lord in your sunset years. First of all, he says in verse 14, but I will hope continually. He actually starts the psalm on this note, expressing hope in verse 1 and 3 about God being his deliverer. Hope. Think with me about what we mean by hope in just a generic sense, apart from the biblical application. I mean, what is hope, but yet this expectation one has of something good? You hope to go do this. You hope to experience that. You don't hope to get sick and have to go to the hospital, but you hope to go see your friend next week that you haven't seen in many years. Hope is an expectation of something that's good. And all people experience it. A young person, they hope to get up into high school and do the things that high school people do. Somebody in high school hopes to graduate and go to college. Somebody hopes to get a job one day. They hope to get a better job. They hope to get married. They hope to have children. All those things are something that you look forward to and you see a good in it. People of their middle years, they hope to accomplish something real significant in their work or have a real significant position in their work. They hope to have nicer physical things because now they're in a position to afford those things. Maybe they hope to have grandchildren. It's easy to be hopeful about earthly and physical matters in those stages. And even in your senior years, somebody may hope to have more leisure and hope to have more flexibility in their schedule. But so many of those things are earthly and physical. And many of the things that people hope for, you sort of run out when you get to the senior years. And you realize that a whole lot more of the road is in your rearview mirror than in your windshield. And it's sort of a weird thing when you begin to calculate, you know, how long am I going to live? You know, you don't know, but I'm just going with the averages, and you realize, ooh, most of my years have gone. I've got less ahead than behind me. And then as you get further and further and further, it's only natural to say, well, what hope do I still have? When it comes to that new job, when it comes to that bigger house and those kinds of things, no. But the important things are still there. Matter of fact, that can be even more intense. And that's drawing closer to God and closer to eternal life with God. I mean, there are the words, the very sobering words, but also very inspiring words of the Apostle Paul when it is clear that his death is imminent, that he's going to be executed. And he writes in the second letter to Timothy in chapter 4 and in verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. See all that past tense? Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Future tense. Do you see that? What he's hoping for. Anticipation of a good. And he says, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul anticipates, he's hopeful of a closer presence with God and eternal life with God. You know, think about it. If you ever have a hard journey, the best words you can hear are, we're almost there. If you are a senior person and you're serving God, There's even a level of excitement.
You're getting close.
Like the old bluegrass song says, almost home. I'm almost home. You know what that can breed in an older person? A positive spirit. I think it's absolutely silly when people talk about, oh, you got to be optimistic, you got to be positive. And what you do is you just sort of conjure up this kind of thing from within your mind, like you just imagine positivity. Well, that's not very deep. That's very fragile. But there is a reason to be positive and optimistic. If you are an older person serving God, you are close to finishing. And that can create an immense amount of positivity. And that positive spirit built on hope in God can be a beacon. Because to be negative and critical and bitter in the older years, first of all, it makes you miserable and it makes everybody else miserable around you. And it also compromises your influence for God and your service to God. But to be hopeful is a blessing to all. And to have hope is in its own way a service to God. Because you're honoring Him, because you trust Him, because of His promises. And going back to Psalm 71. Right after he says, I will hope continually. Look also what he says here in Psalm 71. In verse 14, he says, I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. Keep reading with me. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God, I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth, you've taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. And then drop down to verse 23. He loops back to this. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed. The older servant of God says, I'm going to give God more praise. More and more. I'll keep it coming. You see, your praise to God, if you're older, means so much to Him. Do we understand how this works? God does not have to have us, but He wants us. And it means so much to Him when we praise Him. And because you're older and you keep praising Him more, you've had all kinds of opportunities to turn on Him. You've had all kinds of opportunities to quit on Him, but you haven't. You've had all kinds of opportunities to be resentful and bitter, but now you give Him more and more praise? You have a unique perspective because of your unique experiences. And now you know of so many things that you can bring and praise God for, and that means so much to Him. But it's also what it does for you. It's a blessing to you because it pulls you out of yourself. Certainly the thing that is so difficult and the thing that people dread about aging is because the body deteriorates and there are limitations and pains. And also sometimes the mind deteriorates and it doesn't function as well and memory is not as good and sharpness is not there and focus is not there. But let me tell you something that's worse than that kind of physical and even mental decay. And that is when a person sits lumped up, focused on themselves and depressed because they no longer can do the things they used to do and experience the things they used to experience, and they think that real life has passed. That is a more tragic state to be in. And here is a way that you can pull out of that. In spite of the fact that the physical body is weakening, in spite of the fact that the mind is struggling to do what it used to do, if you can keep giving God more praise, it lifts you out of that despair and it puts you on a higher plane. It pulls you out of a pit And it puts you at a level because you're beholding God and you're basking in His presence and you're basking in His light. And when you keep focusing on what God has done and how great and good He is, and your mind is off all that other stuff that you're having to experience, that's a blessing. Giving God more and more praise in your senior years means so much to Him, but it also helps you. And keep reading with me. Verse 18. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me. Until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come, your righteousness, O God, reaches the heavens. You have done great things, O God, who's like you. Verse 24, and my tongue will talk of your righteousness, your righteous help all the day long. Here's the third thing you see him doing. Telling others of God's righteous deeds. To praise God is to talk to him, but here he's telling other people. Even another generation, those who are younger. So let's say you get a new job at a company. And it looks, you know, like it's a good place to work. And they made you a nice offer and you like the work and that they're proposing. And so you start a new job and you're like into your second day and you meet someone around, you know, the break room or something. And you say, hey, how do you like working at this company? What's it been like for you? And the guy goes, oh, it's great. I love it here. And you say, well, how long have you been here? And he goes, I've been here 2 weeks. But then some other guy saunters in. He's got gray hair. He's got a tie from the 70s. And you say, hey, how do you like working here? He said, this is a really good place to work. This, there's that, he gives you these reasons. And you say, well, how long have you been here? And he says, I've been here 35 years. Who are you going to listen to? Which matters the most? Listen to me. If you're an older Christian, you have so much influence. Walmart's gotten away from this. I don't know why. I'm sure it's a bottom line thing. But you remember years ago, for many years, when you walked into a Walmart store, who did you see? First person. An older person. They were the greeters. People made jokes about Walmart greeters and stuff. First person you walked into was a senior citizen there handing you a card, wheeling a cart in front of you or greeting you or something. Had a little vest on, their name on it. You know, one of the reasons why they did that, studies had shown that a large percentage of shoplifters are younger. And studies had shown that young people are less likely to shoplift if they encounter someone the age of their grandparents. No surefire thing, no 100%. America's always been a forward-thinking and a youth-based culture in a lot of ways. Didn't just happen in the 20s with jazz, didn't happen just in the 60s with, you know, rock and roll, 56. I mean, it has always been a not what have we done, but what are we going to do? So as a result, who's the next guy with the next idea? This is not a culture that honors older people. But let me tell you something. There is something built in human beings that when they encounter an older person, there can be a whole lot of influence on the older person. Now, you've got to be the right kind of older person. But talking to others, believers and unbelievers, about God and what He's done in your life can have great impact. Because you've been here so long. You've been through so many things. You've got the credentials. What you have to say has a legitimacy about it. So you need to do that. You need to, in a natural conversational kind of way, not going off and preaching, but in a natural conversational way, you need to be a mouthpiece for God. And you can be an effective one. And I'm not talking about like teaching an organized class. I'm just talking about conversations with people, which means as an older person, you may need to take the initiative. And effectiveness does not work if you just come up and start talking to someone about the Lord, but rather you have a relationship, that it's in the context of a give and take relationship, that you've built a bridge with someone, maybe somebody a whole lot younger, and you've shown an interest in them, and you've had conversations with them, and you've made a connection to them. And then in a natural way, you share your faith, whether it be a neighbor or a relative or someone, a younger Christian at church. The psalmist is clear here. He's not finished. And even though he can't do some of the things he used to do, he can still say things. And because of who he is, his words have a whole lot more weight because of all that he's experienced. And God's not done with you either. You can build relationships with people who are younger and share your faith with them, and it'd have a tremendous impact as you talk about God's deeds. And fourth of all, look in verse 20. He writes, "You have seen me. You have made me see many troubles and calamities. You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again." This is very much reflective of his opening. This is future tense. After all that I've been through, he says, you're going to still revive me. You're going to still get me through it. No wonder he says in verse 3, "Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come." What is he doing? He's going right back to the rock. He's going right back to the refuge. He's going right back to the deliverer, and he is confident that the Lord will get him through it. He is exemplifying perseverance. And that's big. The fourth thing the psalmist demonstrates is being an inspiring example of persevering in your faith. Listen, Satan's not going to let up on you because you're older. Noah, when he's older, uses terrible judgment and got drunk. We're told of Solomon, the impressive Solomon, the wisest man on the earth. We're told of him in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4. "For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God." What these two examples show us is that an old person can still lose their faith in God. An older person can still do something stupid. Don't. You hang in there. You persevere. Listen, you've come too far to go belly up now. It's been a long, hard journey completed. Is there any doubt in this psalmist's mind that he can make it? Is there any doubt that God's not going to come through for him? There isn't. He knows God will revive him and deliver him. And God can get you to the very end. And don't think that because of your age, you no longer are of value in the kingdom. It's so wrong. We've been reading so many of the Psalms of David, and most likely this is another one. But all that David went through, and I want you to look, sometimes this is not studied like some of the earlier events of his life. I want you to look at what appears to be one of the last texts about David. The last text is in 1 Kings, where he's an old man and he can't get warm and that kind of thing, and he's picking the next king. But this is the last sort of active kind of picture of him. And it's in 2 Samuel 21. And of course, what was David's claim to fame? How was it that he rose to prominence in Israel? It was through his military exploits, right? He was a great warrior. Read with me. 2 Samuel 21, verse 15 to 17. "There was war again between the Philistines and Israel. And David went down together with his servants, and they fought against the Philistines. And David grew weary. And Ishbi-Benob, one of the descendants of the giants. Whoa, who does that sound like? Goliath. Whose spear weighed 300 shekels of bronze and who was armed with a new sword, thought to kill David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to his aid and attacked the Philistine and killed him. All right, now stop right there. Not very complimentary of David. You could easily say here, the old guy's lost it. I mean, before, this would be nothing for David, even the big guy. But he's not 25 anymore. He's not 35 anymore. He couldn't handle this. Somebody had to save him. Does that mean he's useless? Absolutely not. End of verse 17. Then David's men swore to him, "You shall no longer go out with us to battle." Well, that's hard to hear, right? It's like, give me the car keys. It's like, oh, we're having your retirement party. Oh, I didn't know I was retiring. But why are they saying, you're not going to go out to battle with us anymore? You shall no longer go out with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel. It was no longer David's combat prowess that made him valuable in the kingdom. It was his presence. It was what David represented. It was just David being there for them to look to as what we've done, look to him as a lamp. God has used him as our lamp over the last several months, has he not? And David's long dead. His presence served as a lamp of guidance and inspiration. Yeah, you may not can do some of the things you used to do. Doesn't mean you don't have value. Just being in the spiritual Israel, the church. Just being part of the church. Just being present in an assembly. You're shining a great light for everybody else. When I see an older Christian just come into the assembly, or I get somebody who responds back to one of my notes, you know, I send out or something, and I get some kind of feedback that, wow, they're just hanging in there. They're plowing ahead. They're determined to keep going. That's huge. I'll just tell you, and you brethren have been so great to work with. You've been so encouraging to the things that we're doing. But I'm just going to tell you, it's been the older people in this church who have put the most lift under me. I'll just tell you right now. You've been the most encouraging. It's because of your age. It's baked into your age. There's just this credibility that you have and this legitimacy that you have. That when you hang in there with your faith and you're encouraging me to hang in there and keep serving God, it's huge. Your perseverance is a guiding light to other people. So keep being that inspiring example. I do believe that one of the greatest strengths of this church is its older people. Even though so many have struggled over the last year with limitations because of the virus, one of the greatest strengths this church has is its older members. Some people have the notion that to have a really effective church, you've got to have a church full of young Christians and young families. Can someone give me a Bible verse for that? What were the ages of the people in the church at Philippi? Or Antioch? Or Jerusalem? Three of the The best churches you read about in the New Testament. What were their ages? Did their effectiveness have anything to do that they were all under 40? It's nothing to do with it. I had seen churches filled with a bunch of young people who were weak in their faith, half-hearted in their commitment, materialistic and distracted, and they were accomplishing nothing. Psalm 71 tells us what an older person can do. They can be some of the greatest tools and some of the greatest weapons in the Lord's cause. We just got to change our thinking. We're looking at things the way the world looks at things, or we're using our own judgments. We're not looking at it from God's perspective. What has God emphasized? What formula has He given? People, regardless of their age, who have faith in Him, who praise Him, who speak of His deeds, and who persevere. And they're not letting up. That's the kind of people that God can use for really good things. We've just got to think like this man thinks in Psalm 71. Now, you may be wondering, did I just preach the same sermon I did 30 years ago? No. I mean, I'm not going to re-preach a sermon from when I was 5. That was a whole new outline. Because I've got a different perspective now. But there was one thing that I used 30 years ago, and I want to use it again. It's a poem that I found. And I think it's appropriate. It's called Not Growing Old. It's by Johnny Roberts. This frail old shell in which I dwell is growing old, I know full well. But I am not the shell. What if my hair is turning gray? Gray hairs are honorable, they say. What if my eyesight's growing dim? I still can see to follow Him who sacrificed His life for me upon the cross of Calvary. Why should I care if time's old plow has left its furrows on my brow? Another house not made with hand awaits me in the glory land. What though my tongue refuse to talk? What though I falter in my walk? I can still tread the narrow way. I can still watch and praise and pray. My hearing may not be as keen as in the past as it has been. Still I can hear my Savior say and whisper soft, this is the way. The outward man do what I can to lengthen out life's short span, shall perish and return to dust as everything in nature must. The inward man, the scriptures say, is growing stronger every day. Then how can I be growing old when safe within my Savior's fold? Ere long my soul shall fly away and leave this tenement of clay. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize. And I'll meet you on the streets of gold and prove that I'm not growing old. Daryl's got another song, and if there is a soul here who at any stage in their life has decided that you need to follow God, it's never too late. If you would but believe and confess that faith in Christ and turn from sin and be baptized today, if you need to respond to the call of the gospel anyway, I want you to do that as we stand and sing.